Swanson mentioned that both Parshas Yisro and Parshas Mishpatim are the Parshios about, thank you, the Parshios about Matan Torah. But there's a very big machlokas Rashi in the Ramban. What is the chronological sequence of these two Parshios? Rashi learns, based on Chazal, that we do apply the principle here of Ein Muktam Amuchar B'Torah. The Torah does not follow chronological order. But what do we mean by that? Because in Parshas Yisro, the Jewish people came to Har Sinai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them the Aseret HaDibros. After HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Aseret HaDibros, before Moshe climbed up on the mountain for 40 days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu then gave Moshe a bunch of other commandments, such as building a Mizbeach of stone, and that the Mizbeach should not have steps, which would expose your nakedness, but it has to have a ramp, a kevesh. And then all of the civil laws, Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, the laws of Parshas Mishpatim. And at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, Hashem then tells Moshe that people should build a Mizbeach, build an altar. The blood should be sprinkled in Am Yisrael. That is when they said the famous words, Nasa V'Nishma. And then Moshe goes up on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. So if you simply follow the normal sequence of the Torah, it turns out that, number one, Nasa V'Nishma was said not before Matan Torah, it was said after Matan Torah. And number two, Moshe Rabbeinu, the building of the Mizbeach was after Matan Torah. In fact, the building of the Mizbeach and the ceremony of Nasa V'Nishma is said at the same time. So Rashi, based on the Gemara in Shabbos, says that this is an example of Ein Muktam Mu'ucher B'Torah, that the Torah does not follow chronological sequence, and in fact, both the Nasa V'Nishma and the building of the Mizbeach was before the Aseret HaDibros, and the Gemara in Shabbos says it in fact occurred on the fifth day of Sivan, right? The Torah was given on either the sixth of Sivan or the seventh of Sivan. On the fifth of Sivan, Moshe built a Mizbeach, and Am Yisrael said Nasa V'Nishma. And even though the Torah does not write it until after all of the Mishpatim, the Rashi says this is an example of Ein Muktam U'Mu'ucher B'Torah.
Why do they have a Mizbeach?
They built a Mizbeach. The Gemara says that the Kabbalah Torah of Am Yisrael was similar to a conversion. In effect, we became Jewish at Matan Torah. And Geirus requires, Bisman HaMikdash, when there is Korbanos, Geirus requires four steps. It requires Bris Mila, which we had when we left Mitzrayim. It requires immersion in water, Mikvah, which we did before Matan Torah. It requires accepting of mitzvos, which is Nasa V'Nishma. And Bisman HaMikdash, it required Korbanos, upon which blood was sprinkled. The Gemara has a brecha that when there's no Beis HaMikdash, Korbanos are not Ma'akev, which is why we can have Geirus today. But when there is a Mikdash, you need a Korban.
And then
they have a Mikdash. Well, you don't need a Mikdash. You need the ability to bring Korbanos. So there's the Gemara Darshans, when it's not halachically permissible to bring Korbanos, Korbanos are not a Chelek of Geirus. So according to Rashi, the Mizbeach was built on the 5th of Sivan, and it was a preliminary to Matan Torah, as part of the Geirus, part of the conversion of Matan Torah. Now the Ramban has a general shita in Chumash, that although the principle of Ein Muktam U'Mu'ucher B'Torah is an unavoidable principle, I mean, Chazal say it, and sometimes you have to say it, the Ramban goes out of his way to keep the Torah in chronological sequence to whatever degree possible. And therefore, the Ramban actually learns that we first heard the Aseret HaDibros, and then Moshe was given the Mishpatim, which we didn't yet hear. In other words, Moshe was given the Mishpatim, and then a Mizbeach was built, and the blood was sprinkled, and we said Nasa V'Nishma after Matan Torah. In other words, before Moshe went up for 40 days, we said, in other words, we heard the Ten Commandments, and then we said Nasa V'Nishma. Now, you'll see in a moment why is this a significant machlokas, but first, let me just go over a more basic question, which perhaps you discussed last week. I wasn't here last week. And that is, what did the Jewish people hear at Har Sinai? So there are actually three shitas in the Rishayim, what we heard at Har Sinai. Shita number one, which is actually the simplest interpretation of the Chumash, is we actually heard the entire Aseres Hadibros. We heard the Ten Commandments. Only then did we say we're too afraid to keep on hearing things, so we asked Moshe to take over from that point. But we did hear all of the Aseres Hadibros.
So what else did Moshe have said at that time?
Well, that would have been the Mishpatim. There were a lot of things that were said at that time. All the Mishpatim and Mizbeach Adam Tassel. That is actually the simple meaning of the Pasuk, because the Pasuk says that Hashem gave the Aseres Hadibros. Rashi, however, based on the Gemara in Makos, says we only heard the first two Dibros from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We heard Anoichi and Lo Yiyeh Lecha Elohim Acherim, and then we were afraid, and the other eight, Moshe Rabbeinu, heard from Hashem and then communicated it to us. The proof of Rashi is a Gemara in Maseches Makos. The Gemara in Maseches Makos says that we know there are 613 mitzvahs, we know that, right, 248 positive, and 365 negative. The Gemara says, it says, Torah, Tziva, Lanu, Moshe. Moshe gave us Torah, and Torah, Begematria, is 611. So how could we say there are 613? So the Gemara says, Moshe gave us 611 because two commandments we heard directly from Hashem, and those two commandments are Anoichi and Lo Yiyeh Lecha. This is Gemara in Makos. Based on this, Rashi says we heard only two commandments from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the rest we heard Mipi Moshe Rabbeinu. By the way, just as an aside too, the Gemara clearly says Anoichi and Lo Yiyeh Lecha are two of the 613 commandments. What is the commandment of Anoichi Hashem Elokecha? I am the Lord your God who took you out of Egypt, the house of slavery. On its face, that is not a commandment. That is a statement. That is a declarative sentence. How is it a commandment? So the Rambam says in the Sefer HaMitzvahs that Anoichi Hashem Elokecha is the commandment to believe in God. There's a mitzvah called to believe in God, the mitzvah of Emunah. Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. This is what the Rambam says. Ramban, of course, the Rambam has a very excellent raya from the Gemara. The Gemara says, Beirish, Anoichi, Lo Yiyeh Lecha, are two of the 613 mitzvahs. But Ramban asks the kasha logically, how can there be such a thing as a commandment to believe in God? Mimanashach. If I believe that God gave the commandment, I already believe in God. If I don't believe there is a God, then what is going to obligate me to believe it? Meaning it's like saying, you know, somebody says I'm an atheist. And I say, well, you're not allowed to be an atheist. And he says, why not? He says, because God says you're not allowed to be an atheist. But I don't believe in God. So the Ramban says it's not logically possible that there be a commandment to believe in God. Rather, belief in God is said to be the foundation and the basis of all commandments. And of course, the statement there is a God is a true statement, but it's not a command statement. It's a statement of fact. It is not a statement of command. So it's real good kasha. So how would the Rambam answer that kasha? So the Mefarshim explain that the Rambam says that the mitzvah of Emunah is directed to a believer. You already believe in God. So what am I being commanded to do? You, who believe in God because of your tradition, because of your family, because of the way you were raised, you are mechuyev to internalize that belief on the basis of rationality and philosophical argument. So according to the Rambam, the mitzvah of Emunah requires that a person be intellectually convinced that there is a God, there is one God, and not simply do this on the basis of blind faith. And that is why the Rambam wrote the Guide to the Perplexed, and this is the Rambam Shita of Emunah, that one is obligated to philosophically investigate the proofs for the existence of the Almighty. Now, as you know, this itself engendered a tremendous amount of controversy in the Middle Ages, and it continues even today, where there were many, many Rishonim who took the position that trying to investigate the philosophical proofs for the existence of God was considered to be something improper, because chas v'shalom, if you start investigating something philosophically, what if you come out the other way? What if you're a believer in God who becomes a non-believer because the arguments don't convince you?
Then it wasn't commanded anymore.
Well, at that point, let me put it this way. You might not be commanded, but you're still, after 120 years, you can still be in trouble. Meaning, it's true that, according to the Ramban, if I don't believe in God, I'm not transgressing a particular commandment. But I am transgressing the 613 commandments that I should have kept had I believed in God. In other words, Ramban is not giving an atheist a pass. The Ramban is not suggesting an atheist doesn't have to keep the Torah. Rather, the atheist cannot be commanded to believe in God, but he will be responsible for everything he didn't do or did do as a result of that, of not believing. So the atheist is still in trouble, even according to the Ramban, but there's no unique commandment of Emunah. But according to the Ramban, the mitzvah is to engage in philosophical persuasion of the existence of the Almighty. Many Rishonim say bedafka that that is forbidden, and even to this very day. This is why in most Batei Medrash, including our base Medrash, whether it's here or the main base Medrash or anywhere else, you will not find a copy of the Rambam's Mor Nevuchim. Right? The Rambam, every base Medrash is filled with the Svarim of the Rambam, but not the Mor Nevuchim. Mor Nevuchim is the Rambam's philosophical work in which he talks about various proofs for the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, the emes is, or Sameach is a little different, because the truth of the matter is, people who have already been exposed to atheism, kafira, foreign philosophies, need to sometimes address the Torah perspective from a philosophical perspective. That's why we have Rabbi Gottlieb and the like. But, you know, in a typical mainstream yeshiva, where guys did not come who had been exposed to all of those things, most of the Rosh Yeshivas, the standard yeshiva world, in violation of the Rambam's directive, in violation of the Rambam, will actually not touch these questions at all.
Did the Rambam put in the beginning of Mor Nevuchim that if this was the Sefer was written for people who had there's some caveat he put, this is only to be read only by a certain group of people?
Well, yes, but that's not he said the other way around. He said this was written for people who are very intellectually sophisticated and capable of understanding. He didn't say this is written for people who are not so from, but if you're from, don't read it. That would have implied that Mor Nevuchim is for, like, the lesser people. It's exactly the opposite. He said Mor Nevuchim is for the very, very high, intelligent people with very subtle and discerning intelligence, and the average simple Jew, you know, perhaps should not be connected to it. So he considered this to be the highest level of Emunah. The Rambam considered philosophical exploration to be the highest level of Avodas Hashem. In fact, one could even make the argument that the Rambam held it was higher than Gemara learning. That after Gemara learning comes the philosophical, metaphysical speculation regarding the Creator.
Doesn't he say that
explicitly? Yeah, basically he does, but we kind of ignore it. I mean, there are a lot of things the Rambam said. You know, it's been well said that if the Rambam would come back to Earth today, he would be put in Cheirim for not following the 13 principles of faith, which is kind of a joke because he formulated the 13 principles of faith, but, you know, he doesn't keep his own principles, so to speak. Now, similarly, the Chovas HaLevavos. The Chovas HaLevavos is one of the greatest Musar Svarim ever written. And it's not from the Musar movement of the 19th century. Chovas HaLevavos is earlier than the Rambam. It was written in Arabic and translated into Hebrew. And the Chovas HaLevavos, Duties of the Heart, he emphasizes the idea that Torah is not only about what you do or what you don't do, but it's about what you feel and what you think. That's called Levavos, the duties, the internal duties, not just the external duties. And, you know, each chapter, which is called the Shar, deals with a different theme. The Shar of Bitachon, the Shar of Avas Hashem, the Shar of Avodas Elokim, different things like Cheshbon HaNefesh, Anova, Shuva. But the very first gate of the Chavos HaLevavos is called Shar HaYichud, the gate of unity. And it is devoted to the proving the unity and nature of God. So there's a very nice modern Hebrew translation of Chavos HaLevavos called Lev Tov. Very, very excellent. Because although Chavos HaLevavos has been translated from Arabic to Hebrew in a medieval translation, but it's a very cumbersome, it's a very, very difficult translation. And the modern Hebrew is much more flowing. But the modern Hebrew reproduces Shar HaYichud in the original Hebrew translation, but it doesn't modernize it, doesn't translate it. And it just prefaces it with a 50-page anthology of different statements by Gedolim, that's including the Vilna Gaon, that say, when you learn Chavos HaLevavos, you should start with chapter 2 and skip Shar HaYichud, like something like, Chavos HaLevavos is wonderful, parentheses, except for Shar HaYichud. So this is kind of where it is, and indeed this is an old, old machlokas among the Rishonim. Many Rishonim saw tremendous danger in philosophy. Certainly in the Hasidic movement that became a very dominant theme, with maybe the sole exception of Chabad, but even Chabad. Chabad is a very philosophical Hasidus, but not in whether or not there's a God, meaning to say it draws philosophical implications, but only after you accept certain premises. It does not try to prove those premises. So be it as it may, there are three shitas, as it were, about the Aseres HaDibros. The Kuzari says, we heard everything, all 10. Rashi shita, based on the Gemara in Makos, is, we heard the first two. And then we get into the machlokas, if the Enochi is a mitzvah. Then there's a third shita, yeah.
The Rambans is the first commandment.
Yes, it's not a commandment. How did you learn the Gemara in Makkah? See, it's Akasha. It's Akasha, how he learns the Gemara in Makkah. Now, the third shita is that of the Rambam himself in the Mora Nevuchim. The Rambam himself in the Mora Nevuchim actually says, we heard no words at all. We experienced a revelation of God's presence through kolos, who brought him thunder and lightning. And we had a sense of Hashem speaking to Moshe, but we never heard a single word. We could not make out the words. And the Rambam is medayek it, because when Hashem describes Matan Torah, he says, Kol Devarim Atem Shomim. Kol Devarim, with a kuf, means the voice of words. You didn't hear the words. You heard the voice that was producing the words. Now the Rambam then asks on himself, how can I say we didn't hear anything? Does not the Gemara in Makos say we heard the first two commandments? Right, the Rambam himself addresses the Gemara. So listen to what the Rambam says. He says a very interesting chiddush. He says, it doesn't mean we actually heard the words Anoichi and Lo Yelecha, but it means by virtue of the experience at Sinai, we understood on our own that there's one supreme God who took us out of Eretz Mitzrayim. In other words, the Anoichi and Lo Yelecha is what we understood by virtue of our experience. So these are three different shitas about what the Aseres HaDibros were. In other words, according to the Rambam, we actually did not hear any concrete commandments at Matan Torah. We just had the overwhelming experience of being totally convinced that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving Moshe the Torah, that Moshe is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shliach. And in fact, if you look earlier in Sefer Shemos, you actually see that the purpose of the Sinaitic revelation, the purpose of those 3 million people experiencing all of these miracles, was not so much to give them the Torah, because after all, most of the mitzvahs, like every interpretation, most of the mitzvahs we got later when Moshe comes down from the mountain, etc. We didn't get the whole Torah at Mount Sinai, no matter what you say. And if you look in those Sefer Shemot, you see that the purpose of the Sinaitic revelation was to establish people's faith in Moshe, that he is the designated Shaliach of Hashem, so that when Moshe gives us mitzvos, we will know that he didn't make them up. So really, Matan Torah is much about establishing the credentials and the status and the reliability of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the Lashon, Gam Becha Yaminu Liolam, that through the experience of Matan Torah, they will believe in everything you say, that you are my designated person to communicate the Torah to Am Yisrael. Yeah.
According to this Rambam, that they didn't actually hear words, so how do they know what the Ten Commandments, let's say at least the other eight, how do they know the content?
They didn't know the content at all. They only knew, in other words, they were able to ascertain the lessons of the first two commandments.
Right.
And the content of the commandments, Moshe Rabbeinu told them later, like everything else. The same way Rashi says the other eight, right? Yeah. Now, one other thing. So we then go. Let's go back to the first machlokas I started off with, the machlokas of when was there a mizbeach. Now, this will have an interesting repercussion because at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, it says Moshe built a mizbeach. Moshe spilled half of the blood on the mizbeach and half of the blood he sprinkled on the people. And Moshe read something called Sefer HaBris, the Book of the Covenant. Vayikra es Sefer HaBris Biyozne Ha'am Vayomru Kolam Yachtav, and everybody said together Kol Asher Diber Hashem Nase V'Nishma, everything Hashem says Nase V'Nishma, we will do it, we will hear. And of course the greatness of Nase V'Nishma means it's a blank check, meaning even before we know what it is, even before we have heard it, Nase, we are committing ourselves to action. By the way, that's the same remez of why Tefillin Shel Yad is before Tefillin Shel Rosh, because the Yad is your strength and the Rosh is your understanding. And just like Matan Torah is Nase V'Nishma, the Yad, we pledge our physical strength to Hashem before we even understand what His will is. Right. So every time you put on Tefillin, you're reenacting part of Matan Torah. Now, the question is this. What is the Sefer HaBris that Moshe is reading to Am Yisrael? He took the Sefer HaBris, the Book of the Covenant, and he reads the Book of the Covenant, and the Jewish people say Nase V'Nishma. So there is in fact a Machlokas Rashi and Ramban, which is connected to the chronological Machlokas Rashi and Ramban. According to Rashi, the reading of the Sefer HaBris took place on the 5th of Sivan, before the Ten Commandments. That's where Rashi places it. So, what is the Sefer HaBris according to Rashi? Rashi explains, it is the text of the Torah from the book, from the beginning of Bereishis. See, apparently we don't know exactly when Hashem dictated this, but Hashem had already dictated to Moshe, Bereishis Bara Elokim, up to this event, including the Exodus and everything else. So Moshe Rabbeinu is reading to them Sefer Bereishis and Sefer Shmos up to this event. So they're actually getting in advance of the Sefer Torah itself. That is the Sefer HaBris. Plus, Rashi adds, the extra mitzvahs we got at the Oasis of Morah. In the Oasis of Morah, we were given certain commandments. Shabbos, Kibud Aviyim, Parah Aduma, etc. Right? Now that's how Rashi learned Sefer HaBris. But according to Ramban, Sefer HaBris is after the Aseret HaDibros. So according to Ramban, Sefer HaBris is simply the Ten Commandments that we had just heard, or if we didn't hear it, Moshe is now telling, in other words, this answers your question, meaning if you position Sefer HaBris after Matan Torah, then it is simply the commandments that Hashem had given Moshe right now that Bnei Yisrael had not heard because they were afraid. So according to Rashi, again, this could fit different models. Either they didn't hear the last eight, or they didn't hear any of them, or even if they heard all 10, Moshe is reading it to them so they understand it better. Okay? So basically, you understand that the reason the Ramban says the Sefer HaMitzvah, the Sefer HaBris, is the Aseres HaDibros, is precisely because it happened after Matan Torah. Rashi Lashitaso has to say it's the Torah from Bereishis until Matan Torah, because Rashi says the Sefer HaBris is beforehand. Now, there is a third sheet about Sefer HaBris that's actually very, very fascinating, and this is the Eben Ezra. The Eben Ezra says the Sefer HaBris, this is really an example of Ein Mukdim U'Mukher B'Torah. Without addressing whether this was after the Torah was given or before, that's a separate question. Right, that's the Machlokas Rashi and Ramban. The Eben Ezra says the Sefer HaBris is the Teichacha that appears at the end of Vayikra. The blessings and the curses. Now, even though that sounds very strange, because that Teichacha is like at the end of Sefer Vayikra, after there's a mission and everything, but the Eben Ezra points out that textually, there's a lot of reason connected to the Teichacha. Number one, thematically, it makes a lot of sense that as they're accepting Torah, Moshe is telling them the brachos and the klelos. Number two, the Teichacha is explicitly called bris, covenant. And number three, in the book of Vayikra, it indicates that the Teichacha was given in Sinai, even though it's written after there's a Mishkan. So we have three shitas, basically. What is the Sefer HaBris? Is it the Torah from Bereishis up until Matan Torah? Is it the Aseres HaDibros? And by the way, according to the Ramban, I'm sorry, it's not just the Aseres HaDibros, it's the Aseres HaDibros and all the Mishpatim. Because Moshe got all the Mishpatim before he went up to Har Sinai. Sefer HaBris plus the Mishpatim. Right? Because if you read the Psukim in order, Moshe does not go up to Har Sinai till after the all of the Mishpatim, and then at the end of Mishpatim he goes up to Har Sinai. And the Eben Ezra says it is the Brachos and the Klelos, which are at the end of Bechukaisa. Okay? So we have all sorts of confusion about chronological order and what was done and when was it done. We'll also see that the rest of Shmos will also have confusion. When we were commanded about the Mishkan, according to Rashi, the whole commandment about the Mishkan was after the Cheder Egel, even though it's before. So there's a lot of changes of order in these particular parshas. But one question I'll leave you with, I'll talk about it tomorrow, and that is the famous words, everything the Jewish people say, everything Hashem says, Nasa v'nishma, only appear in Parshas Mishpatim. And according to the Ramban, that's after the Aseres HaDibros. According to Rashi, it's before the Aseres HaDibros. That's fine. But in Parshas Yisrael, we did say something, and maybe you noticed this. Kol Asher Diber Hashem Na'aseh. But it doesn't say Nishma. So one thing you might ponder, we'll talk about it tomorrow, is how come in Yisrael we say Naseh, and in Mishpatim we say Naseh v'Nishma? What is the meaning of those two statements, and why were they positioned differently depending on whether it's before Matan Torah or after Matan Torah? Okay, Yisrael is Naseh, Mishpatim is Naseh v'Nishma. Okay, well, see you tomorrow.
Thanks so much.